ears to hear what your Spirit has to say. Give us hearts and minds to obey, to be doers of your word, not hearers only. We ask and receive it now in Jesus' name. Amen. If I can hold out, and if I can keep the faith,
yes, sir,
in God's own time, my change will come. It will come. If I can do my best, and if I can pass my test, in God's own time, my change will come. All I have to do is hold out.
Hold out.
Just a little while longer, and these heavy burdens, they will soon pass over. So just run the race. And your change will come. Your change will come. If I just pass my test, if we all do our best, in God's own time, our change will come. It will come. If we just hold out, if we just keep the faith, in God's own time, our change will come. And all we have to do is hold out, hold out, just a little while longer, and these heavy burdens, they will soon pass over. So run this race, faith. Our change will come. Our change will come.
Hold out.
Hold out.
Just a little while.
Just a little while longer.
These heavy burdens.
These heavy burdens. They will soon pass over. So run the race. Our change will come. Our change will come.
That's what I feel like. I feel like encouraging you and encouraging me. Just hold out. Keep the faith. For in God's own time, our change, our change will come. As we progress in this process, truth be told, sometimes we get a little weary. Sometimes we even get discouraged. Sometimes we get tired. But just run the race. Keep the faith. For in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, our change, it's gonna come, y'all. It's gonna come. We're gonna be walking around, driving around, sitting around, laying around, and boom! So run your race. Keep the faith. Our change will come.
Oh, yes, it will.
Our change will come. Amen. I pulled that out of the recesses of my mind. Amen. Amen. The old songs, they mean something. Amen. 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 I want to talk briefly. We're still under the theme of progressing in the process, but I want to talk briefly about a renewing of strength. A renewing of strength. Because you do get tired sometimes. Let's just be real. This is a church where we believe in being truthful. Amen. It's not a cakewalk. Huh? This ain't a cakewalk. We're not skipping through here. I believe the Bible says that they that will live godly shall suffer persecution.
Say that.
So we're going to suffer some things. There's a certain allotment of suffering that is allotted to us as children of God. But we don't suffer like people who don't have any hope. Because of who we are, because of who we belong to, because of what Jesus has done for us and is doing for us, that makes the suffering bearable. That makes whatever we have to go through, we see the end of it. That we're going to come out victorious. And our hope and our confidence is in the Word of God. So this is where we go for our support. This is where we go for our encouragement. This is where we go for our strength. This is where we go for our direction, is to the Word of God. So as we prepare to what I like to call oftentimes get an infusion of strength, as we partake of the Lord's table, amen. I just want to talk about a renewing of strength. The psalmist in Psalm 73 and verse number 26 wrote this, and I am using the Amplified Bible once again. It says, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the rock and firm strength of my heart and my portion forever. I may get tired in my flesh. I may get weary in my flesh. I may feel like I can't go another step. And my heart may fail, but God is the rock and firm strength of my heart and my portion forever. He's my portion of strength. He is my strength. He is my rock. So this psalmist is expressing something that we need to oftentimes remind ourselves. Sometimes we might feel, in certain instances, we might even use the word overwhelming. Or situations may seem overwhelming, but we have to remember that the Word of God declares God is the rock. Amen? He is the rock and firm strength of my heart. So when my heart feels like it can't go on, God will help me to go on. For He is
my portion forever. In Psalm 118, in verse 14, the writer picks up this thought and follows us along, and our thought brings us along to this point where he says, "The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation." God is our strength. When we would fail, we know that we have a inexhaustible source of strength, and that is the Lord himself. Not only is the Lord my strength, the Lord is my song. It's something about singing the songs of the Lord, singing the songs of God, that ushers in strength to our mind and strength to our being. So this psalmist says, "The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation." I'm so glad that God is our salvation. He's our salvation, and he has provided salvation for whosoever will. Then we go to Psalm 140 and verse number 7. We're continuing this thought here, and it says, "O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation, you have covered my head in the day of battle." Look at the strength of God. If we could just take a moment and testify what God has done for us when we were battling certain things, whether they were things that were opposing us from the outside or whether they were things that were opposing us even in our own minds and even in our own thinking. But God is the strength of our salvation. He covered my head in the day of battle. Most of the time, just looking at an illustration, most of the time, if you're fighting, let's just say if you're fighting in a ring, if you're fighting in a boxing ring, most of the time, if you get hit in the chest, you get hit in the arm, it won't knock you down or knock you out. But if you get a couple of good shots to the head, your whole body goes on shutdown. Your whole body goes on shutdown. If you get shot, God forbid, if you get shot, most of the time, if you get shot in the head, you ain't gonna make it. Yes, you won't make it most of the time. The head is important, and God has covered our heads in the day of battle. God has helped us when we were facing certain things that the enemy and the world would try to overwhelm us with. God has covered our head, and I like to look at it as God has covered our head in such a way that he allowed us to go through the situation, go through whatever we were going through, go through whatever we were facing, and we didn't go crazy. He covered our head. He covered our head where we didn't lose our mind. We have not lost our mind. And though the enemy might have gotten in some blows, he didn't get in no head blows. Because God protects our head. God, we may not know what to do or just when to do it, but sometimes we just need to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And while we're standing still, yes, we may be still under attack from the enemy, still under attack from outside sources, but I'm thankful that God has covered our head in the day of battle. So we're fighting a battle, and all of us are fighting against something. That's a common thing that we have as children of God, as saints of God. We're on the Lord's side. And since we're on the Lord's side, then everything that God stands for, we should stand for. I had to put that "should" in there. Amen. Everything that God is against, we should be against. And if we are against the things that God is against, and if we are for the things that God is for, look for opposition. Because the scripture says in one place, I believe it's in the book of Acts, where he talks about save yourself from this untoward generation. That means the whole generation, the whole of mankind, all of unregenerated man, all of people who are not saved in one form or another, they are untoward God. That means they are opposing God. Right? So when you have the multiplicity of people in different places and different settings opposing God and you're standing for God, expect opposition. Expect opposition if you're trying to maintain a standard of righteousness, if you're trying to maintain a standard of holiness, if you're trying to maintain a standard of godly integrity, if you're not following the crowd, they're going to single you out and they're going to throw some accusations your way. And you're going to have to deal with that. Let's be thankful that we are not by ourselves. Let's be thankful that God fights for us. What we have to do is we have to maintain our godly integrity. We have to maintain our righteous cause. We have to maintain our standard of living that will bring glory and honor to God above all else. And that takes some effort. That takes some effort because it's easy to go with the crowd. It's easy to go with the flow. But I believe in this day and time, especially in this wicked and perverse generation, God is still calling for someone that will say, I'll go if I have to go by myself. God is still looking for someone that will say, let God be true and every man a liar. God is still looking for someone that will say, for God I'll live and for God I'll die. God is still looking for someone that will have the integrity and the courage to speak what God wants them to speak and to speak it with their life. And when we deal with situations like that, Scripture lets us know that evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse. So it takes a toll sometimes on our physical being. It takes a toll sometimes even on our mental state to have to go against pressure all the time, to have to go against pressure every moment, to have to go against pressure. Even sometimes when we're sleeping, the enemy would want to attack us even in our dreams. So we often need to renew our strength. We often need a place that we can go. I'm so glad that the word declares that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and are safe. Now, if there was never a need for a renewing of strength, then God wouldn't have allowed certain things to be written in the scriptures. So since there are certain things that are provided, look at God, since there are certain things that are provided for us to get strength, to get our strength renewed, to get our strength infused, to get our bearings, if you will, because we're in a battle, y'all. Let us not allow ourselves to be lulled asleep by someone's smooth words or by people putting you up, so to speak, because the same people who can use those smooth words to put you up can use that same tongue to pull you down if you don't dance to their tune. But God wants us to take advantage of the opportunity that we have to renew our strength. Paul said something in Romans chapter number 8, beginning at verse number 16. He said that the Spirit himself thus testifies together with our own spirit, assuring us that we are the children of God. When you're in this battle, you need to be assured that you are a child of God. You got to be assured. So it's the Spirit that testifies, the Holy Ghost testifies with our own spirit, assuring us that we are the children of God. Verse 17 says, and if we are his children, then we are his heirs also,
heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing his inheritance with him. Only we must share his sufferings if we are to share his glory. See, I said earlier that there is a portion of suffering that is allotted unto us. So don't think that you're just going to skate through here on some skis and not going to have to face anything. But God allows us. He allows us to get into his word. He allows us to get into his word because the scripture has declared that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So the more of God's word that we ingest, the more time we spend in God's word, this should build our faith. Why is it necessary for our faith to be built? Because we're going to have to deal with some things. We're going to have to suffer some things since we are the children of God. But then he said, excuse me, in verse number 18, he said, but what of that? Paul was like saying, it's really no big thing because, see, there's a prize that God has already put forward. And the prize that God has put forward is that I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. That right there should be encouragement enough for us to go through whatever we have to go through. A joint heir means that whatever Jesus get, we get. Glory. See, God already wrote us into the will before we even got here. He said, you are joint heir with Jesus Christ. So since we are joint, not only are we children, but we are joint heirs with Christ. We share his inheritance with him. So since we share his inheritance, surely we can share the suffering, huh? If we ought to share his glory. And then in verse number 18, he says, but what of that? He's saying basically, it's no big deal. We're in a win-win situation, y'all. Huh? And he says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time, this present life, I like the word of God because it's the living word. So whatever sufferings that we're facing in this present time, he said, they're not worthy. They're not, nobody knows the trouble. It ain't worthy. All the suffering, Paul is woe with me. No, you ain't woe. You fitting to go. Because we are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So Paul says, but what of that? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, this present life, are not worth being compared with the glory that is about to be revealed. Don't you dare throw in the towel before the glory is revealed. God is about to reveal something. He said they're not worth being compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us and in us and for us and conferred on us. God got us all in there. You see that? He's going to reveal some glory to us. God said, I'm fitting to show you something. I'm fitting to show you the glory that's going to be revealed to you. Not only am I going to show it to you, I'm going to show it in you. There's some glory. If you a child of God, you need to put your hand on yourself and declare, God got some glory in me. Glory. There's some glory in you. If you a child of God, So you need to encourage yourself. We need to say what God says about us and believe what God says about us. He said, this little suffering that you're going through, it may seem large. It may seem large in our human understanding, but compared to eternity, this is little stuff. It's little stuff. Well, you don't know what I'm going through. I don't need to know what you're going through, and you don't need to know what I'm going through, but for everything that is worth, go through it. Don't get stuck in what you're going through. It was not meant for you to get stuck. It was meant for you to go through it. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, this present life, are not worth being compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us and in us and for us. God got the glory for us. He's got glory that he's going to give to us. He's got glory that he's going to show in us, and he's going to confer it. Ooh. on us. He goes, they're here. I can't wait for that to happen. Huh? When God says, all right, there's some things that's hidden in you. When I gave you the Holy Ghost, I gave you me. When we got the Holy Ghost, we got God on the inside. We got the eternal God on the inside. We got the everlasting God on the inside. We got the almighty God on the inside. And God's saying, it's just not time yet for you to reveal who you really are. But God said, you just hold on. You just go through. You just deal with this little suffering. You just deal with them talking about you. You just deal with them ostracizing you. You just deal with being misunderstood. You just deal with that for a little while, because there's still my glory in you. God said, I know what I put in you when I put it in you. God said, I remember the day, the hour, the moment, and the second that I filled you with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. You got my glory. God's trying to help somebody. He said, you got my glory in you. You got everything that you need that pertains unto life and godliness. So God said, when I get ready, I'm going to reveal it in you. I'm going to show it to you, and I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to confer it. Who wouldn't trust a God like that? Who wouldn't serve a God like that? Who wouldn't endure whatever we got to endure until God reveals his glory? I thank God. That gives us sustained power. That gives us, listen, I can do this. Lace up your boots, tie up your shoes, and keep on moving. Glory, hallelujah. This is a great thing for us to look forward to you. And moment in moment, God even reveals, he reveals portions of it even while we're here. Yes, he does. How could I have figured that out? God gave us the mind to figure that out. I don't know how that's going to work out. Then God said, here, do it this way. Look at the glory of God. Wait a minute. We even have the mind of God. Don't you know we got the mind of God? So that means we can go to the counselor anytime we want to. He got office hours 24/7. I'm happy about the glory that God has put in me. And I'm glad that I can't control it. Because if we could control the glory, oh, Lord, there wouldn't be enough air in this room for none of us. Because our head would swell up big time. I like what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. There's a responsibility that goes with the glory of God that we have in us. There's a responsibility with us being recipients of the Holy Ghost. That means, first of all, we don't belong to ourselves. Oh, Lord, help me here with that. Can we just be real? Because sometimes we really want to do what we want to do, and we really don't want nobody telling us or trying to talk us out of what we really want to do. Huh? And oftentimes we have forgotten that we don't own ourselves anymore. Oh, Lord, help me here in this moment. How come I can't do that? Is it what God would have you to do? Well, I don't know. I ain't asking. Why? Because you already knew the answer. You already knew the answer. There's certain things you ain't got to ask God about, because you already know what he said in his word. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Oh, Lord, help me. Help me here, right here. So Paul speaking about himself. Now, you got to understand the resume of Paul. Started a whole bunch of churches. Powerful preacher, right? Yes, he did. Read your Bible, you'll find it out. Well, you already know. But in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, here's what he says, verse 7. And to keep me from being puffed up. Lord, help us here, right here. And to keep me from being puffed up and too much elated by the exceeding greatness, preeminence of these revelations. See, God gave Paul some fantastic revelations, but Paul said, no, but God did something else. So along with the glory, God will give you something that will keep you from getting the big head.
Lord, have mercy. See, God, I'm so glad God is God and we are not. He said, there was given me a thorn, a splinter. Y'all see that? In the flesh, a message of Satan. Wait a minute now, that kind of sounds like a contradiction. You mean I got the glory, but I got to deal with these thorns too? Huh? I got the glory of God. I got all types of revelations, you know, and I'm starting churches and, you know, and I'm starting prison ministries and I'm sending letters, you know, from prison. Paul did. He did all that. You know, so, hey, you know, I really got it going on. But he said, and to keep me from being puffed up and too much elated by the exceeding greatness, the preeminence of these revelations that were given me, a thorn. There was given me a thorn, a splinter in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to rack and buffet and harass me to keep me from being excessively exalted. Oh, what would we do if we didn't have no problems? What would we do? I'm so glad. And I think I said before, sometimes trouble is a tool that God uses. Now watch this. He said three times, I called upon the Lord, I'm in verse 8, and besought him about this and begged that it might depart from me. Paul said, I prayed that this would be removed from me. I prayed. I begged God. All this work I'm doing for you, God, I'm starting these churches and I'm on missionary journeys and whatnot. I got locked up for preaching the gospel and that still didn't stop me. I was preaching while I was in jail and this got to happen to me. Does that sound familiar? He said, I begged that it might depart. But look what God said, verse 9. But he said to me, my grace, my favor and loving kindness and mercy is enough for you, sufficient against any danger and enables you to bear the trouble manfully. Man up, Paul. God said, my grace is sufficient. Don't you beg me another time. Does that speak to us? Well, God, move this trouble. If you just fix this situation. No, His grace, my favor, my loving kindness and mercy is enough for you. It's enough. Sufficient. He said, for my strength. My strength. See that? And power are made perfect, fulfilled and completed, and show themselves most effective in your weakness. See, he's saying, look, when you're weak, that's when my strength shows up. Because sometimes if we didn't have nothing that was stopping us or we didn't have nothing that was hindering us somewhat, we would think that is all about us. But God told the apostle, the great apostle Paul, he said, my strength and my power are made perfect. They are fulfilled and completed and show themselves most effectively in your weakness. So that means in my weak times, that's when God can show himself most effective. So if God can use a broken down, halted, trouble-laden individual to accomplish his will, then who gets the glory then? God, because I'm a broken down, taking like 7 medications. I'm getting tired of paying all them copays. Every time I go to the doctor, I got to pay a copay. That bothers me. You're going to pay me $30 just to stick my, I got to pay $30 just for you to stick my finger. I can stick my finger at home. Y'all pray for me on that one. But I got to pay copays. Why? Because I'm broken down. I can't blame God. Ooh, that might be a Bible lesson, but I can't blame God for my broken downness. But I can thank him that I got the $30 to pay the copay. Hey, glory. Amen. but his strength is made perfect in our weakness. So when Paul got the understanding about that, he said, I ain't going to beg God no more. He said, therefore, I will all the more gladly glory in my weakness and infirmities. Paul said, all right, yeah, all right. I'm a glory in that. That the strength and the power of Christ the Messiah may rest. Yes, may pitch a tent. Ooh. So when we get weak, remember, we read the scripture that said God covers our head in the day of battle. Now Paul brings it to the New Testament and he lets us know that when we are weak, the strength and power of Christ the Messiah may rest. Yes, may pitch a tent over and dwell upon me. So when I'm weak, God sets up camp over me. Glory! Hallelujah. When I'm weak, God said, all right. If you allow me, just to use my mind, when I'm weak, God gets his backpack off of his shoulder. And what do you got? He got his tent. God is a traveling God. He can move how he wants to move. So when I get weak, I can imagine God taking off his backpack. God, what you got? I got a tent. Yes, you stay right there. Yeah, I know you're weak. Yeah, I know you're tired. Yes, yes, I know you're weary. And you look like you're hungry and you're thirsty. So here's what I'm going to do. Hold on, you stay right there. So God will come to where you are. He's that kind of God. He's a very present help. So God will trudge through whatever he got to trudge. That's what he did when he came and got us when we first got saved. Huh? He came to where we were. Huh? So if he came to where we were to save us, surely he's going to come to where we are to help us. God said, okay, I see you, son. I see you, daughter. I see you weak. Oh, that's okay. Let me get my backpack. Oh, God, what you got? God, you got a backpack? Yeah, and I'm going to take my tent out. I'm going to put my tent pegs down, and my tent is waterproof. Glory. Hallelujah. When I put my tent over you, you're going to dwell there. You're going to dwell there. What am I going to do when God sets up his tent over me? I believe if I recognize and know that it's God that's setting his tent up over me according to the word, then there's some things that I must do. That means sometimes I got to be still and know that he is God. Sometimes I got to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. That means I can't be running hither and thither. Sometimes that's what got me in the condition that I'm in, because I'm running to and fro and never taking time. I'm okay. No, you're not okay. You was going at 55 miles an hour. Now you're going at 25, and you're going to be going at 15. So now I'm weak. Now I'm weary. And look at God in his grace and in his mercy comes to where I am, stuck on the side of life's road and life's journey, and God sets a tent up over me. He puts down his tent pegs himself and sets a tent up over me, and he dwells. He dwells upon me. So he pitches his tent over and dwells upon me. So then there's some things I got to do. Here, just let me give you a suggestion. I know I can't make you do anything, but when God sets up a tent over you, when you feel weak, know that God will set up a tent over you. And when he does that, here's a strong suggestion. Wait on the Lord. Woo, glory. And be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. God said, first of all, what I'm going to do, I got to set my tent up over you so I can protect you from the elements. Glory, hallelujah. And God has a tent that can't nobody get in but God. But you and God, the wolves can holler, the foxes and the lions, the cougars, and all kind of stuff can be around that tent, but they ain't going in there because that's God himself protecting us. Glory, hallelujah. I hear what God said through the prophet Isaiah. He said he gives power to the faint. So when God sets up a tent over us and we're faint and we're weak, he gives power to the faint and the weary. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Stay in the tent of God, and God will increase our strength. Woo!
causing, he'll cause it to multiply and make it abound. God said, I want to strengthen you. I got to hover over you. I got to lay down my stakes because you belong to me. I paid a price for you on the cross of Calvary, and I ain't going to let nothing happen to you. So sit down here with your weak self. You ain't going to be weak always, but you got to admit sometimes that you need help. And you can cry out to God and say, help, God. God come running with his tent and set it up over you. And when he sets his tent up over you, you got everything you need in the tent, because the tent is God. And everything that we need is in God. God said he gives power to the faint. He gives power to the weary. Anybody weary this morning, this is a safe place to acknowledge that you're weary. Listen, God desires truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part, he shall make us to know wisdom. So if you're weary, just say, Lord, I'm weary. I'm feeling. Listen, it ain't about who you sit next to. Listen, it's about you and God. God has a tent for every individual child that he bought with his blood. So if you're weary, say, God, yeah, I'm weary. God will honor that truth. But you ain't going to be weary always. Oh, glory. I'm so glad that on my weary days, God can set a tent up over me. I got to acknowledge that I ain't all that. I got to acknowledge that I ain't batting 1,000 all the time. I got some low days. I got some days that I'm in the valley. I ain't on the mountaintop all the time, and neither are you. So let's just be real. He said he gives power to the faint. I didn't know I was going to be preaching, but I'm excited in my soul. He gives power to the faint and weary. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Oh, God, under the tent, he can increase my strength, causing my strength to multiply and to make it abound. He says, even the youth, young folk, oh yeah, y'all got it going on. But I got some news for you, according to the very word of God. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. You won't get tired too. Ooh, glory. And the selected young men shall feebly stumble and fall exhausted. Run out there on the devil's territory if you want to. You're going to be exhausted. He wants to exhaust you spiritually. He wants to exhaust you physically. He wants to exhaust you financially. He wants to exhaust you mentally. But I got some good news here. Verse 31. But those who wait for the Lord. What you doing while you're weak? I'm going to wait on the Lord. What you going to do when you get faint? I'm going to wait on the Lord. What you going to do when you get weary? I'm going to wait on the Lord. What you going to do when you're when your strength starts to diminish, those who wait for the Lord, who expect, what you waiting on? I'm waiting on God. I don't need my road dogs right now. I need God. He said, but those who wait for the Lord, who expect, who look for and hope in him, shall change. Isn't that our motto? Shall change and renew their strength and power. Ooh, glory. That's why I don't mind acknowledging when I'm weak. I don't mind acknowledging when I'm a little faint. I might not tell everybody, but I'll tell the right one, and that's God. Ooh, so he can set up a tent around me, and I'll wait on him. Now, as I'm waiting, I'm expecting. I'm expecting God to fulfill his word. I'm expecting God to give me strength. He says, but those who wait for the Lord, who expect. What are you expecting as you're waiting on God? If you ain't expecting nothing, guess what? You ain't going to get nothing. Glory. Hallelujah. If you ain't expecting nothing, ain't nothing going to happen. But those who wait for the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in him shall change and renew their strength and power. Oh, glory. They shall lift up their wings. Oh, glory. You see what happens when you stay in the tent of God? God gives you strength to lift up your wings. You might have came in here this morning and couldn't lift up your hands to praise God. You might have came in here beaten, tattered, but I recommend you wait on God and watch God renew your strength. He said, they shall lift up their wings and mount up close to God as eagles, bound up to the sun. They shall run. Oh, that's why you need a pit stop. You need to pit stop in the tent of God. He said, they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint or become tired. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall, not he might, he shall strengthen your heart. So acknowledge when you're having some problems. Acknowledge when you're having some challenges, because we got a problem solver. We got someone who can overcome every challenge, and that's the Lord himself. So when we're weak, when we're weary, when we're faint, God provides a tent of covering for us. And when he provides that tent of covering, we need to wait on him with expectation. Yeah, I might be down now, but I ain't out. Mm-mm. I might be cast down, but I ain't destroyed. There may be trouble on every side, but my hope is in God. I look. Where you gonna look? Where you gonna look? You in the tent. Where you gonna look? I will look unto the hills, from which cometh my help. Where your help come from? My help come from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So yes, Christians are saints. Are not on the mountain all the time. We got to have some valley experiences, but we can learn some great things about God in the valley. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Wait upon the Lord. What would have become of me? One psalmist said, what would have become of me? I'm in Psalm 27, almost done. What would have become of me had I not believed that I would see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living? That's why we got to hold firm our faith. Hey, what would have happened to me if I stopped believing God? Listen, Linda, listen. You come too far to stop believing in God. Huh? You come too far to stop believing in God. Huh? You come too far. Are you going to stop believing now? Linda, listen. Wait and hope and expect the Lord. Be brave and of good courage, and let your heart be stout and enduring. Yes, wait for and hope for and expect the Lord. I'm expecting God to strengthen me. I ain't bragging. I'm just repeating his word. He told me to wait. Is that what he said? If God says something, it makes good sense to do it. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. Can I add something to that? Wait a minute. We gonna have to wait anyway. Right? So the thing is, how are you waiting? Am I waiting with murmur and complain? Or am I waiting with expectation and joyful anticipation? God's coming through in God's own time. My change will come. See how it's all coming together? Huh? Hold out. Just a little while longer. For these heavy burdens, oh, they're going to pass over. Run your race. How you going to run? Run like you're going to the finish line. Don't trip your own self up. Put a hurdle in your own way. By murmuring and complaining. How long, God? How long, God? Now, you can ask the question, but don't let it get over to the complaint side. We know when we're just asking, and we know when we're complaining. It's an attitude. But thank God, He allows us opportunities to renew our strength. Because He knew and He knows that we need it. Anybody need renewed strength this morning? Whew. I beat y'all. Let's just be real with that. Now, if you don't need renewed strength, then maybe you ain't fighting the good fight of faith. Did he say that? No, he didn't go there. Yes, he did. And thank God for opportunities to get an infusion of the blood and the body of Jesus Christ as we take the wine that represents his blood and we take the bread that represents his body. Amen? For the life of the creature is in the blood. Amen? The blood that was shed for us, the blood that gives us strength from day to day. It's going to lose its power come 20. Oh, it's not going to lose its power? All right, just checking. Just checking. So since it's not going to lose its power, we need to recharge as often as we do it. Maybe gives us another perspective on the Lord's table. Amen? All right. That's it. That's all. God got a backpack. And when you get weak, he's going to take that backpack off his shoulders and set that tent over you and give you strength. No matter where you are, desert, valley, wilderness, he's a traveling God. He's the omnipresent God. And what I love about him, he can come to each one of us at the same time and not miss a beat. Who wouldn't serve a God like that? Before we get into our communion, anybody here want to be saved? Anybody want to repent of their sins, get baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins? God